but I would rather err on the side of too much all at once, like a fire hose of information, and really challenge these guys right off the bat to step outside of their comfort zone. Because everything they've done up to this point, which is run away from fear and anxiety and anything that might push them outside of their comfort zone, has got them exactly where they are today. And the only reason they decide to join Order of Man or Iron Council is because they recognize a void in their life. It might be a very small void, like, I just want to learn how to be a slightly better husband, right? Or learn a couple of things I might be able to do to communicate with my kids more effectively. But there is a gap. There's a void. And in order for us to bridge that gap, we have to do something different. So I'm very upfront about saying, guys, this is not always going to be comfortable. This is not always going to be easy. The men in here are welcomed and encouraged to call you out when you're saying something that isn't in line with who you've said you wanted to be and the goals that you've identified for yourself. And creating that type of environment is what's missing in society today. So the guys that can't handle that, they leave. But the guys that maybe are fearful yet are willing to move forward are the exact type of men we're looking for in our organization.
This is the Angles of Latitude podcast, session number 82, with founder of the Order of Man, Ryan Mickler.
This is squadron leader confirming hostiles inbound. Prepare for battle.
What you're about to hear is the integration of life.
Clarity is power.
If you live each day as if it was your last, someday you'll most certainly be right.
Liberty.
We choose to go to the moon.
It's happening.
And all things geek.
Yeah, I'm not sure I know how to answer that.
You got a badass over here.
Welcome to the Angles of Latitude podcast.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, JC Preston here, and welcome back to another edition of the Angles of Latitude podcast. Thank you for listening in today. Of course, this is the podcast released each Thursday where we bring you life lessons or a message from successful entrepreneurs, experts, and artists to help you do your life's work and live a lifestyle that you're proud of. This particular session, session 82, is powered by our friends over at Virtual Summit Tech. And one of the ways that creatives and especially online entrepreneurs get popular are through their webinars. And I'm sure you've watched one yourself recently. And by the end, you probably thought that the host really knew their stuff. And in fact, that's how a good webinar is designed. However, sometimes a webinar isn't necessarily going to be able to cover the material that you want to present perfectly. Or maybe you simply feel like you haven't done enough credibility building in your market yet, so you decided that you needed to get some other folks with their knowledge on the webinar yourself. This is exactly what Napoleon Hill did in his book, Think and Grow Rich, where he gathered knowledge of other successful entrepreneurs and sorted it all out, and he presented it in his book. Question is, what would you say if you could combine that process that Napoleon did with a book into a webinar? Where could you actually highlight other people in your course? I mean, through different segments where they're playing the professor or through an interview process like Napoleon used. That, my friends, is what we call a virtual summit. And just like anything else online, a virtual summit can be complex to set up, and that's where Virtual Summit Tech comes in. You know, they help you set up a website built to your needs and make sure that the summit itself runs as smoothly as possible. And if doing a virtual summit sounds like something you might be wanting to do in the not too distant future, you know, you can book a call with Virtual Summit Tech for free, actually, by going over to newinceptions.com/virtualsummittech and booking that complimentary call. And again, that's newinceptions.com/virtualsummittech. All right, today's guest is someone that several of you have been recommending that I get on the show, and he has been a great guest of Chris Ripka's show in the past, Raw and Real, and he has his own podcast as well. His name is Ryan Mickler, and he's the founder of the Order of Man. And as you guys know, this is a topic that I've had a lot of passion for myself over the years, you know, helping men become better men. And for many years, I personally struggled with it because I grew up as an only child of a single parent mom, and while she was my best friend, she couldn't really teach me to become a real guy. You know, she could only give me examples of good guys to emulate. And when she passed, I found myself looking to find out what a man was made of. I found two podcasts that really inspired me. One was The Art of Charm, and the other was The Art of Manliness, and both of which we actually talk about in today's show. You know, I also came across great books like Wild at Heart, which I've written about in a blog post called Stages of Manhood, and I'll have that in the show notes. What I found out was that my biggest hurdle was caring too much about what others thought of me. And I realized that I got this from my mom, who always cared about what others thought about her. The other issue I had was that I was very, very judgmental, and I didn't know how to let people just be themselves. And even if I felt I could help them fix their issues, I didn't have the permission to actually offer that advice. You know, they have to want that help first. And it's just one of the reasons why I've created this show is, you know, I give it as a way of to help people see examples of what they can do with their lives. But if they want that help getting to the next level, then is when I have permission to help them. So in this interview with Ryan, we're going to be discussing the normal AOL topics like, you know, what inspired him to start Order of Man and what his background consists of. But we're also going to be talking a bit about what Order of Man can do for its members and how Ryan has been able to build such an incredible group in such a short period of time. We also find out what it looks like to start with Order of Man from day one and discuss the profile of someone that's going to excel at being a member of the group. Also, I'm introducing a new co-host for this one. Albert Winks, president of Ascension Mentorship, he's going to be my co-host, and you might remember Al from his Session 71 interview. Al and I have been doing some really cool work here in Indy recently, and I really think it's going to make an impact here, and you know, just really kind of excited to get him on the show as a co-host. So really looking to be stepping up soon. And in fact, Ryan inspired us to possibly look at doing some men and women's leadership training as well. Another call out I want to make is that I have a new announcer for the show. Her name is Amita Davis, and I met her last year through John Powell's expert community. And if you're looking for an English voiceover for your work, you can look her up or just ask me to connect you. So lots of good stuff in this one. And as usual, you can find the show notes at newinceptions.com/82. And of course, I'll be on after the show to fill you in on anything we might have missed. Hey everyone, welcome back to the show. JC here with a first-time co-host, Albert Winks. Glad to have you on today, Al.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Total pleasure as usual. A lot of things going on in Indy that we're excited about. And so definitely wanted to share some airtime with you.
Yeah,
today's guest is actually father, Iraqi combat veteran, and founder of a relatively new community called the Order of Man. And having grown up without a permanent father figure, he has seen firsthand how a lack of strong, ambitious, and self-sufficient men can leave a negative impact in the world. And he believes that many of the world's most complicated problems could be solved if men everywhere learned how to be better husbands, fathers, businessmen, and community leaders. And you know, it has now become his life's vision and mission to help men across the planet step more fully into their roles as protectors, providers, and presiders over themselves, their families, their businesses, and their communities. You can find him blogging and podcasting at Order of Man, where he is working to help men become all they were meant to be. His name is Ryan Mickler. Hey, Ryan, how you doing today, man?
Good, guys. What's going on? Glad to be here today.
Pleasure having you on. I got to say, man, a lot of good work. Al and I are both actually Masons.
And, oh, is that right?
We, you know, as being brothers of the lodge, it's like, oh, this guy is actually applying, you know, a lot of this stuff to the real world. This is pretty cool. So
good. That's what I like to hear. Yeah. Awesome. Good to know.
Well, hey, man, good to have you on and good to be with a fellow veteran. So, tell me your background and what you did in the military, what took you in, and give me the history on that.
Yeah, you bet. So I actually joined the military when I was 18. I was in high school still. And quite honestly, I just didn't have a plan for what I was going to do after school. You know, I wanted to go to college. It was a great opportunity to pay for college. Always wanted to serve, always had this idea that it would be something to do and it would be valuable for me. I didn't grow up without without a father figure. And so I learned a lot about what it meant to be a man through the sports that I did and also through my time in the military service. So I got a lot of good information from that. I'm honored that I was able to serve and proud of that service. We were in an artillery unit. I spent some time overseas in 2005 and 2006. And spent about 8 years in the National Guard and the Army as well.
Okay, and so were your majority active, or I know you said you had a bit of a blend in there.
Yeah, no, majority of it was National Guard service. Yeah, and then when we're activated, you know, that's when you over to a full time Army. So yeah,
right. What was your reason for stepping out into the civilian world full time? What was that process like for you?
After my military service?
Yes.
Yeah. So obviously with the Guard, you know, we do the 1 week in a month, the 2 weeks a year, that kind of thing. And so I had done that for the previous five, almost 6 years before we were activated. So really it was essentially just coming back to that ordinary everyday life. I felt like there was a lot of valuable information and lessons that I learned in my military service and specifically my year and a half deployed overseas. But when that time was up, I felt like it was time to be present and available for my wife. We were only married actually 6 months prior to our unit being activated. So So I came home and basically we were in the honeymoon phase again, and that had its own set of challenges, and really wanted to spend a lot of time and attention on her and then advancing my career in business as well. So proud to have served and honored at that time, but then also it was a good opportunity for me to step into the civilian world.
Sure.
Nice. And so what took you into actually starting Order of Man? I mean, did you spend some time actually trying to get a JOB, or were you just like, oh, gung-ho, man, I'm going to start my own thing?
I wish that were the case, because I'd be a lot further ahead than I am right now. But no, what happened is I was actually managing retail clothing stores of all things prior to our unit being deployed. And into my activation, maybe even just a couple of months, my wife and I decided we didn't want to go back to that when I came home. We were doing nights, weekends, holidays. And if I wanted to advance within the business that I was currently working at, we'd have to travel. We want to kind of settle down. So of all things, probably the dumbest thing I could have done that we could have done was we actually bought and built a home while I was deployed without a real plan of what we wanted to do when I got home. So, not a smart move, but it worked out.
No pressure though.
Yeah. Yeah. So I came home and we had managed to save a little bit of money. She moved in with her parents and one of the perks is when you're deployed overseas, you don't pay taxes. So we managed to save quite a bit of money, and I came home from our deployment on a leave, a 2 week leave. And I met with a financial advisor to help us handle our financial affairs. And at the time he was looking for a couple additional junior advisors. And so I actually took all of my study materials for insurance and investment exams back to Iraq, finished out my tour, and in my downtime, I was studying for my licenses, my insurance and investment licenses, came back, passed those exams. Long story short, I had been doing that for about, that's a decade now that I've been doing that. And then a couple of years ago, we launched Order of Man. And I can get specific about why we launched Order of Man and how that all worked, but that's kind of the timeline.
Okay, gotcha. But you definitely tried all the insurance things. And
oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, yep. See, there. That's why I had Al on, because he's kind of gone down that path himself, too.
Is that right? Yeah, but, yeah. It was good. It was a good path. I learned a whole lot. I do still own the financial planning firm that I started roughly 3 years ago. And so there was a lot of lessons that I learned from that time and experience that really helped me to be a little bit more successful with my endeavors moving forward.
Mm-hmm. So Order of Man itself, I mean, it's barely, you said you've been doing it for a couple of years now. You started 2015?
Yeah, March of 2015 is when we launched.
Wow. And you already have 19,000 followers or likes. That's, or almost anyway. That's
on Facebook. Yeah, that's right. Yeah the show, the podcast has done really well, the Facebook page, and we've got a group that's done really, we've got more in the group than we do on the page at this point. And I think it's just a testament to the conversations we're having and the power of men banding together and really having some conversations that you're just not going to get anywhere else. And society almost shies away from these types of conversations. You know, you have some of these things in the military and the camaraderie and the brotherhood that comes with that, but outside of that, a lot of guys just aren't getting this stuff, which is why I think they're craving it at this point.
Right. And, you know, you have, I mean, what, out of all the things that you could have done, what pursued you to, or made you to pursue Order of Man?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And it's kind of the way that it's worded is a little bit interesting to me, because it's not something that I saw and I'm like, okay, I'm going to go down this. I'm going to start a podcast and I'm going to start a blog and we're going to have thousands of men and tens of thousands and hundreds of millions of men. Like it's not really like that. What it really was is I basically wanted to have a conversation about masculinity. I had started a podcast with my financial planning firm, and it was geared, that podcast was called Wealth Anatomy, which was geared towards helping medical professionals understand the game of money and finances. And I did about 20 or so shows, episodes of that. And I realized I really love the podcast medium. I love the medium of podcasting, but I wasn't so engaged in the conversation above and beyond what I was doing from, you know, in my day job.
Right.
So in the meantime, there's a lot that obviously leads up to this. Some of the struggles that I had growing up without a father figure in my life. I had a near divorce with my wife, and I learned a lot. And I wanted to have some of these conversations. And so there were some sites out there, Art of Charm, Art of Manliness, a lot of these sites regarding how to be a better man. And I felt like I had something to add. I felt like I had something to share. And so I started with the premise of just having some conversations with some good men, some men that I looked up to, and in a way, almost selfish, knowing that if I started a podcast, I would have permission and an excuse to reach out to these guys that I would love to have conversations with. Mm. And so we went for 9 months, not even that long. It was probably more like 6 months or so without making a dime. And we didn't make any money and really turn this thing into a business until November of 2015, where we opened a mastermind group. And like I said, it's really taken off since then. And a lot of people will say, well, where's it going to be in 5 years? I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen next week, let alone in 5 years. You know, I've got plans and I've got vision and I've got thoughts, but we're learning as we go. And it's been a really cool ride so far.
Right. So one of the things you just said that really sparked something with me is that you had these people in mind that you wanted to have conversations with. like, what exactly were these, like, big names that everybody's going to know, or, you know, more or less, you know, easier to reach kind of names? Or,
yeah, I mean, initially, like, yeah, if I understand you correctly, like, who is it that I even wanted to reach out and connect with, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so obviously, you know, I had some of those, like Lewis Howes with School of Greatness and Brett McKay, Art of Charm. I mean, some of these bigger names that, quite honestly, I didn't really have any business at the time reaching out to anyways.
Right.
But I did it nonetheless, because it's just what you do, right? And so there was some local people that I want to have conversations with. There was also some guys that I knew from my financial planning podcast that I felt like I could reach out to and have a conversation about how to manage money and teach other guys how to manage money. So it was without having the ability to quantify. It's always weird to say, you know, you have these guys, these elite people, and then you have these guys who quite aren't on the same path. That doesn't speak anything to their worth. So I'm always really cautious of doing that. But yeah, I mean, we had guys that were very visible who I reached out to, and 90% of them said, no, who the hell are you? We're not going to be on your show. We don't even know who you are. But the other 10% made it worth it, you know? So it was a mix of guys that were well-known and a mix of those who a lot of people just wouldn't know, or regional or local celebrities, for lack of a better term.
Right. Something I'm always curious about as a fellow entrepreneur as well is how is it that you went from the creative into like, man, we could really make this into something to where we can make a, like I say, make a difference and make a living at the same time. So how did you cross that opportunity chasm from free creative thought and conversation to, man, let's monetize this. Let's break it down into curriculum chunks of X, Y, and Z. So sure. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, you bet. It was actually born out of necessity, which I think a lot of inventions and a lot of movement and progress are anyways. I was, like I said, about 6 months into the blog and podcast Order of Man. And I remember sitting down with my wife having a conversation. She's like, you know, I'm really happy for you. Order of Man's great. And it's a good outlet for you. And you're having some conversations that are, I can, and she could see that were helping me be a better man at home and with her and the kids and work and everything else. She said, but you're dedicating more and more time to this thing, and you're actually taking away from the time dedicated to the financial planning practice, which in turn reduces the income coming into the house. Mm-hmm. So she said, I think it would probably be a good idea at this point if you either scaled back from Order of Men or made some money. And I wasn't interested in scaling back. I've never had that personality. It's like, no, I started this thing. I'm only moving forward. So the natural solution is to make some money. So we had a Facebook group at this time, and we must have had 1,000 or so guys in the Facebook group. And a lot of these guys, I won't say a lot, a fraction of these guys were asking for more information. How do we do this? How do we incorporate this? What does your daily planning look like? What does your exercise look like? And they were asking these questions. And I thought to myself, what a great opportunity for me to put together some sort of a mastermind group. And so I launched this thing in November, and I said, I've got 12 spots available for this mastermind group. And it's going to be a 90-day course is what it's going to be. And it was dirt cheap. It was like $100 for the entire thing. I'm like, oh my gosh. Looking at it now, I'm like, what was I doing? But, you know, I was getting started. And we had 12 guys sign up just like that. I mean, so quickly. I remember the first couple of guys that signed up. In fact, those first two members that signed up are still with me today. That's morphed into more of a permanent thing as opposed to a 90-day course at this point. And we've got about 245, 250 members in that group now at this point.
Okay. Yeah, I saw you had a breakdown of somewhat membership and also curriculum. Is there a difference in membership versus curriculum, or you know, how does somebody in your neighborhood get a benefit from it and you get a value from it, of course, and how does somebody across the globe do the same?
I'm not quite sure if I understand what you mean by the difference between membership and curriculum.
Yeah, like you were saying membership, so you had members that join you. Would you consider them clients, like a one-time? I know you've got some longevity with some of these original folks, so
yeah.
You know, there's always a difference between membership, somebody who does something ongoing, and maybe one-off curriculum to where they come in and do a training certificate and then they're on their way. So how do you try to, you know, gain loyalty? Like you said, you've got some guys that are still with you from day one.
Yeah,
so
yeah, no, that's a good question. I'm glad you clarified. I just wanted to make sure I understood that correctly. So basically, like I said, we've got 250 or so roughly guys in the Iron Council, and this is an ongoing membership. So these guys are participating in discussions on a weekly basis. Up to two calls they can participate in. We give them weekly assignments. We give daily challenges. We pair them with what we call battle teams, which is essentially a 15-man team where they get to know these guys a little bit closer and form more of an intimate relationship with these guys. And we're bringing experts in and having conversation. I mean, there's just so much going on in there that they get to participate in. And most of 90% of what we do with Order of Man, I'm just talking about the business perspective at this point, is done through the Iron Council. But I also have individual coaching clients, guys that have reached out and have said, hey, you know, I need help with X, Y, and Z. Can you help me with this? And so we will work together anywhere from 30 to 90 days, and we'll cater a very specific plan and program and strategy, a roadmap, if you will, for them based on what it is they're trying to accomplish. So I think from a business perspective, what I've done well is I've recognized what my audience really wants and desires, which is a mastermind group. And then I saw, okay, well, a couple of guys want to have other conversations or one-on-one conversations. So we bring in individual coaching. And then recently, last year, we actually launched a live event because I thought a lot of these guys would want to connect in face-to-face, and they were doing some of that anyways. I thought, why not put on this event? So in a couple of months, we've actually got our second event coming up where we have 25 men flying in from all over the nation. And we're going to have a great 3.5-day weekend of kicking ass and doing some things that they probably haven't done in the past.
Cool. What's that look like? Give us a little taste of that.
Yeah, you bet. So these guys, like I said, they come in, we fly them into Las Vegas, and I shouldn't say we fly them in. They get here, we take care of everything else. So
yeah,
they fly into Las Vegas, we ship them up to Southern Utah, which is where I am, which is about 2 hours north.
Right.
We do a lot of different things. We kicked off last year with airsoft. We do some physical training. We have literal firesides every single night where we sit down and we're not singing kumbaya or anything by the fire, but we're getting each other's face and really pushing each other which is what men need to do, sitting shoulder to shoulder. We fired some different weapon systems. I think we shot 7 or 8 different weapon systems last year. We did a lot of really cool hikes. We did some self-defense training. That was good. And then, of course, I just kind of showed them the area. So we got the jet skis out and the four-wheelers out. So it's kind of a mix between an escape and, hey, at the same time, let's try to get in your face a little bit and shake you out of the reality and the rut that you may have found yourself in.
Yeah. Hmm. What have you found are some common denominators with men? What's been their struggle?
Confidence issues is a lot. I get that a lot. I'm not confident in my work, or I'm not confident with women, and I think it's this real passivity that we see and almost society expects out of men. Like, I think they take these rough and tough men and try to make them more sensitive. And then we take these maybe more sensitive women, for example, and try to make them more like men. And we're trying to all be the same. And what we end up finding is mediocrity and a lot of discontent among the ranks. So these guys, in my experience, an overwhelming majority of them are walking around like zombies. You know, it's like they just go through their day so regimented and in this pattern that they're not happy, and they know they're not happy. That's the thing I'm finding, is these guys know they're not happy, but they don't know how to put their finger on what the hell is really going on in their life. And so my role within Order of Man and these uprising events, which is what we call them, is to shake them out of that a little bit. Like, literally, like, let's put our hands on your shoulders and shake you around a little bit and wake you up so that you can grab life by the balls and do the things that you've always wanted to do. You know, I've got 4 kids. I've got 3 boys and a little girl. My oldest is 9 years old, and he's got dreams and ambitions and desires and exciting things. And he wants to be, quote, a cowboy animal doctor, you know? And then somewhere along the way, society is going to say, you can't do that. You shouldn't be able to think like that. And then I don't want him to spend the rest of his life in a cubicle. I want him to be happy. I want him to do the things that he wants to do at 9 years old. And I think a lot of men have resigned to a life of default because society says that's the way we have to behave and act.
Right, right. How did you take the red pill yourself? How did you get deregimented? Because you were in military background again.
Yeah.
How did you get out of, like, being, because, you know, from what I've been able to, you know, my wife, she's an E7. Mm-hmm. And so I know a lot of military folks myself.
Yeah.
How were you able to, like, make your own compass, so to speak? I mean, you, for one thing, you seem really well spoken. Was that always a strength of yours? Did you always have that? Or is that something that you've built, you know, worked on? Or,
well, I mean, it's definitely something I've worked on. I'm deliberate about it. I'm intentional about it because I think it's important. I think if I've got a message to share and you guys have a message to share, that the best way for us to be influential in other people's lives is to communicate effectively. And sometimes that's auditorial, right? And other times it's visual, however it may be, written word, however it may be. So I'm really intentional about the things that I say and how I communicate because I want to be effective in being a change in people's lives. So it's definitely something that I've been very, very deliberate with. As far as bucking the system, for lack of a better term, and really being my own man, I think I've always been this way a little bit. I think I've always questioned authority and why it has to be a certain way. And that's one, it's maybe a little bit of a rebellious nature. And in a way, I'd almost rather reinvent the wheel than do it somebody else's way. Mm-hmm. As I get older, and I'm not old by any means, I realize that there are flaws in that, certainly. But there's also opportunities to look at things a little bit differently than you have in the past. So I think to your point and your question, the first thing that you need to do is ask yourself constantly, why? Like, why does it have to be this way? Why do I have to wake up at 6 o'clock because that's what I'm told to do? Why do I have to work out this way? Why do I have to eat this kind of food? Why do I have to do things this way? Why do I have to shave my face? I mean, name it, right? And so constantly asking yourself,
well,
why?
Personally, for me, it's because I break out if I don't, but that's another story.
But here's the deal. I mean, that's a great point. Here's the deal. At least you've thought about it, right? Like, at least you know the answer to the question. How many people haven't even asked the question?
Right.
And
that's
the point that I'm making, is like, if I were to say why to 100 guys about some topic, like, why did you marry the woman that you married? Or why are you in the job that you are? Why are you 20 pounds overweight? 99 of them couldn't answer that question. And then they have the audacity to ask themselves 10, 15, 20 years down the road, why am I not happy? Why am I not satisfied? Why am I not making any money? Why am I not making love the way I want to make love? Because you've never thought about an intentional way to live, right?
Well, and here, that brings up another question. I was just recently listening to, I don't know, some other podcast, and I wish I listened to so many.
Yeah, that's the hard part.
It's just like, I don't know where I heard it from. But the guest was talking to someone that he was talking about the fact that he had been around way before Simon Sinek, and he was always asked how.
Mm.
Not why, because Simon's, you know, he's the why guy, but he asked how.
He's got it pinned down with the why, that's right.
Right. And so, but he brought that into the conversation. And the other question that people need to be asked, so you got the why, and then he was, make sure that you ask the how, and then the other question that people were saying is the what.
Yeah, sure.
Know how you're going to put that, you know, if you're asking those why questions about yourself, you know, maybe they're, you need to figure out a solution. You can't go around, you know, as you put it earlier, being a zombie, realizing that, you know, maybe you have, you know, you're wanting to do things different, but then you don't find any solutions for them.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah. No, it's a great point. I had a friend, and we joined the financial industry roughly the same time. We worked together for a lot of years, and he's still a friend of mine. And he had a phrase that he always used, which at times it pissed me off, quite honestly, but it makes a ton of sense. And it was, therefore what? Mm-hmm. So I would say something to him, and he would say, therefore what? I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, okay, well, you're telling me you're upset about this, or you're telling me you don't like this. Therefore what? What are you going to do with that information? And that, mm-hmm. to me, is what makes a successful person. Because anybody can complain. Anybody can talk about what they want. I mean, ideas are a dime a dozen. That's why they're so cheap, because everybody can come up with them. But what's not cheap is the man or woman who's willing to answer and execute on that question, therefore what? So you've got this great information. Like, I've never met anybody who didn't have an idea or a vision for the future, something they wanted to do. But very rarely do I meet a person who is willing to actually execute. And willing to actually do that thing. So that's really what, so Simon Sinek, you're right. He's got a great hold on the why, and this other gentleman you're talking about has a great hold on the what. It's not one or the other.
Right.
You've got to have all of this stuff working together.
Right, right. And then again, what you were saying is that so many people they'll spend their entire life not even asking one of those questions.
Right.
And it's good if they ask one, you know?
and it is good. It is good that you ask one, but even that one is not going to help you be as efficient or productive or successful as you would like. You need to have all of them, right? So, but one is better than none. Three is better than one.
For sure.
Have you found with like the social media aspect, of course, and I think you and I are about the same age. I'm graduated about a year ahead of you and joined the Army right out of high school as well. And, did about 16 years total and ended as a senior captain as a medevac pilot. Mm-hmm. And now entrepreneur and very similar, doing something that's way different than most, and but based around some simplistic ideology. And what I know I talk to a lot of people about is being, I'm 36 years old. Anybody who's at my age or above, they have this social media crutch or not enough information flow on how to use it. So I'm curious, being the same age, how have you found the right leverage or tool to reach out to folks that are younger in the millennial age, which is a whole other conversation of manhood, right? We could probably talk for hours on that.
Sure.
But also those guys that are older than us that may not be as savvy on podcasts and access to other social media aspects.
Yeah, you know, this is really interesting because I think there's something out there that says that, oh, we need to appeal to everybody and we need to appeal to the masses and we need to have our avatar and we need to get this all figured out. I agree to a degree with that. I can see the value of that. But at the end of the day, I'm just going to do me. Like, I'm going to do what works for me. And those people who resonate with me, those people who are on the same social media platforms as I am, those people who are there are going to connect with me. I don't need to win everybody over. So if a 60-year-old man, as much as I might respect that individual, can't figure out how to operate a podcast, oh, well, sorry, that's just not the audience, right? Yeah. Or if, or on the other side, if a millennial gets offended that I say something like entitlement, that triggers a lot of people, that word. If I say entitlement,
triggered, right.
And a millennial gets excited or upset about that or offended, well, that's fine. That's not my guy. And I'm completely okay with that. So I think what we need to focus on, rather than, you know, spanning this demographic, whether that's age or gender or sexual orientation or ethnicity or whatever it may be, I think we just need to focus on who we are. You know, if you were to look at my average follower, my average listener, it's me, mid-30s, starting in their career, got a couple of young kids, are married typically, usually more conservative in their political viewpoints, like to shoot guns. Some of them, a lot of them, a large bulk of them probably grow a beard. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's me. And so some people will say, oh, you're just creating this echo chamber. You're just creating this place of like-minded individuals. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm doing. Because we have the same thoughts and we have the same ideas and we have the same goals and visions. That doesn't mean I can't accept advice from other places, but I am catering to an audience that I want to connect with and want to be around and I want to be like.
Right. So that's basically how you've gotten your success that you've had. And I mean, again, nearly 19,000 likes. I mean, how many, when you first started your group, your Facebook group, how did you start off with like 25 people that were all like, you know, engaged actively with each other? Or, I mean, how did that all begin? And then how did that build into what it is today?
Yeah, so I want to distinguish because I've got the Facebook page and then I've got a Facebook group. So I've got I've got both. Are you talking about the page or the group or both or what?
Well, I would say, I mean, isn't one kind of related to the other? Because you started the group first and then you probably started the page sometime after when you were already building the community within the group, correct?
No, I actually did it vice opposite of that.
Oh, okay.
Well, so
either way.
Yeah. So let me give you some insight. So I started with the page. I started because that's what you do, right? Somebody told me that's what you have to do. You start a website and you start this and you start a Facebook page. That's what you do. So that's what I did. And it was growing and it was fine. And then I heard a interview with Pat Flynn. I'm sure you guys are familiar with Pat Flynn.
Right.
And I cannot remember for the life of me who he was talking with, but they were talking about starting a Facebook group. And this was probably 3-4 months into starting Order of Man. And I thought, well, that's a pretty good idea. Let's give that a shot. So yes, I started a Facebook group and I did something I probably shouldn't have done, which is I invited all of my male friends without their permission. And, you know, I had a couple guys, well, you invite me to this, don't. But for the most part, everybody's was fine. And those that didn't want to be there left and it was not a big deal. So I started promoting this pretty heavily on the podcast. Hey, join the group, join the group, join the group. I still do that today. I tell in every single episode, I tell them to join the group. And so through that, through me being hyper engaged, when I started, here's another thing. When you start something, whether that's a relationship or a business or a podcast or a Facebook group or an exercise regimen, you better be committed for the long haul. And if you're not willing to do it for the long haul, like plant your flag and say, this is who I am, this is where I stand, and I'm going to be doing this forever, you probably will not experience as much success as you'd like. So it took me a couple of days, a couple of weeks, maybe even to decide if I was going to start the group because I knew if I was going to do it that I was committing to actually making this thing work. And so I did. I pulled the trigger and I was very committed to posting 3, 4, 5 times a day. Very low engagement to start out with. But the more that I was consistent, the more that I was there, the more that I was asking powerful questions, the more that I was telling people to invite the men in their lives, their brothers and fathers and friends, colleagues, all that stuff. The more that we started growing. And at this point, I mean, we get probably 120 to 150 new members per day in the group just because people are inviting other people.
Okay.
And the other side of that on that point is the type of information that you're sharing. And I think we're very, very cautious. Generally, we're very, very cautious of posting anything, saying anything that might be offensive to somebody. And I'm not going to say I don't care about being offensive. I don't blatantly try to be offensive to people, but I am going to speak my truth and I am going to speak what's on my mind. And if you like that, awesome. Join us. If you don't like that, that's great. Leave. Find something else. Start your own organization.
Right. Well, and that brings up a good point because, you know, my morning show, and I've said this a couple of times, is Glenn Beck. I know how people feel about him, you know, over the years and the background that he has. And to me, he always has a lot of interesting guests, especially on Fridays on his show. Most recent that was on there was a guy by the name of Aaron Watson. Mm-hmm. And I'm not a country fan, really. I listen to it. Yeah, I have a few songs on my podcast, or not my podcast, my iPod, or whatever the hell kids are using these days.
But, that's right.
You know, the thing is that, like, Aaron really struck home with why he sings the songs that he does, and his whole growing up, and why he's his own record label, and all this stuff. And it was really, really, really interesting to hear him for the hour that he was on. And, you know, again, this show being all about, you know, being a creative and, you know, expressing yourself and, you know, getting out of the regimen, as you called it earlier. You know, it was something that I thought a lot of people should hear. Well, I don't know how it was taken, but, you know, again, it's like, I'm going to post this because I know it applies to a lot of you guys. Now, if you have a problem with Glenn, that's not my problem, but I think you should hear Aaron's message. So,
sure.
Yeah, for sure. I understand what you're saying there.
It's really fascinating because I'll have people, in fact, I've got an email in my inbox that I just saw before I jumped on this call with you guys. And he says, you know, you posted something that I don't necessarily agree with, and a lot of other people don't necessarily agree with. Are you comfortable risking losing Order of Men and Iron Council members over that viewpoint? And my answer to that is 100% yes, because there are so many spineless cowards out there. We don't need to agree on everything. We can respect each other. We don't need to agree, but I'm not going to change my political beliefs or my religious beliefs or any belief that I have simply because somebody may not like it and they may not join us, or they may leave us, because for every one person that I lose, I gain it 10 people or more that have finally found somebody who's willing to stand up for what he believes, even if maybe they don't agree with it.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, a wise man once said that I was listening to early during my time in grad school, which it's been a while. not dating. Well, Al should laugh it up because he's just going through grad school right now, about done. But, you know, it's been 6 years for me. Anyway, guy said, he's like, yeah, basically, it's like, if you want to develop true leadership, I mean, there's some things that you're going to have to be able to put your foot down on.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you put your foot down, people know where you're at, and that's when they're able to follow you. If you don't necessarily give, you know, your view on something, which, again, I'm kind of a classical liberal/libertarian type, so I kind of go between two points of view a lot. But at the same time, I'm letting my opinion be known on those. You know what I'm saying? And there's a difference versus not letting anybody know where you're at on anything.
Right. For sure. Well, and I think we can have two opposite spectrums. The one guy doesn't say or do anything because he's worried about offending somebody. And then on the opposite side, you have the guy that just posts stuff to stir shit up, right? And just wants to just fire people up. And I, that's not what I'm interested in. I'm just interested in sharing my message in a respectful way. And then we can have a civil discourse about it.
Right.
That's how I look at it.
How do you, I know in the business that I run, you always have to have in small groups, you know, you always want to maintain a high trust and low anxiety environment. And it sounds like obviously you really do want these men to open up and share their concerns, both on a personal and professional level, so that they can be vulnerable and receive direct feedback. How have you noticed these guys coming in and easing into that mind shift?
I try not to let them ease into it. I throw them in the fire. I mean, you say low anxiety. I understand what you're saying because you're talking about guys feeling comfortable having these conversations. But I would rather err on the side of too much all at once, like a fire hose of information, and really challenge these guys right off the bat to step outside of their comfort zone. Because everything they've done up to this point, which is run away from fear and anxiety and anything that might push them outside of their comfort zone, has got them exactly where they are today. And the only reason they decide to join Order of Man or Iron Council is because they recognize a void in their life. It might be a very small void. Like, I just want to learn how to be a slightly better husband, right? or learn a couple of things I might be able to do to communicate with my kids more effectively. But there is a gap. There's a void. And in order for us to bridge that gap, we have to do something different. So I'm very upfront about saying, guys, this is not always going to be comfortable. This is not always going to be easy. The men in here are welcomed and encouraged to call you out when you're saying something that isn't in line with who you've said you wanted to be and the goals that you've identified for yourself. And creating that type of environment is what's missing in society today. So the guys that can't handle that, they leave. But the guys that maybe are fearful yet are willing to move forward are the exact type of men we're looking for in our organization.
So give me an example of like a day one of like a mastermind group that is, you're talking about hitting them pretty hard, hard and fast. What's something that you do day one to rattle their chains?
Yeah. I mean, the very first thing that we do, and this doesn't seem all that difficult for me because I've been doing it for 2 years, but the very first thing that we tell them to do is we ask them to record an intro video and describe exactly who they are, why they're here, what they hope to get, and what they're going to give to us as a group. And that rattles a lot of guys. And you can even see it in their videos. You can see how nervous or anxious they are. But that's just one type of thing that we might do to enhance their ability to communicate effectively with other people. Daily challenges. This week, let's see, yesterday I issued a challenge to, what was it? Man, they all blend together. Oh, it was meditation. So meditate 5 days this week, which is not scary, but it's definitely something that a lot of these guys haven't done. Another one that I can remember is we asked people to go out and give $100 to somebody, just charitable donation. It's like, well, I don't even have $100 to give. I don't care. Give $100 to somebody.
Where do your inspirations for your daily, posts and things? I mean, again, they're all well written, well to the point. Where do you get these from? I mean, do they all flow from your head? I mean, are you that much of a genius and creative? Or
no, not at all.
I mean,
not at all. No, I wish that were the case. I mean, I appreciate you saying that it seems natural or they're all well written and I appreciate that. But at the end of the day, it's something I have to be really, really intentional about, making sure that it's a message that I truly want to share. So what I do is I literally get inspiration from everywhere. There might be a conversation or a mini conversation or a question or answer that we have in this conversation that might lead me to a thought that I may want to share. I was at the gym this morning and the workout was a little bit easier than I thought it should have been or would have been in the past. And so what lesson is that teaching me? So I extracted a lesson from that workout this morning and I shared it in our Facebook group. I could be driving down the road and see a billboard and it might trigger a thought that I have, or I might see a hot topic right now. Obviously, you know, as we're winding down or at the conclusion of an election cycle, obviously there's a lot of hot topics that I can address right now that I think I can have a voice on and throw my hat in the ring when it comes to saying these type of things. So really tactically, what does that look like? I literally have a list with hundreds, if not thousands of topics in my phone that at any given point I can just go through that list and say, oh, that's an interesting perspective or that's an interesting thought. Why don't I delve into that? So I'm recording this stuff constantly all day so I have topics to draw from.
It's intriguing to me having different ages of men around as far as mentors. Were there mentors that you had as you were growing up that made a significant impact on you? And follow up to that would be, how are you guys mentoring each other? Do you establish a mentorship ring or circle to move folks forwards?
Sure. Yeah. So, I mean, I remember one of my first, what I would consider mentor, was actually my high school football and baseball coach. Like I said, I didn't have that dad growing up. But he was somebody that fulfilled that role in some small way and to the best of his ability. He was never easy on us. He was hard on us. But at the end of the day, there was never any doubt in my mind that he cared about our success and seeing us thrive and succeed in life. And there's lessons and there's things that I say. In fact, the other day I got my hair cut and I got my beard trimmed and I put something on Facebook. I said, "You look good, you play good." And I was thinking to myself, where did I hear that? And it was from him almost 20 years ago.
Wow.
Nice. Because in baseball, we would always have the best uniforms and we had to buy our uniforms every single year. Every player on the team had to buy his own uniform every year. And it was always brand new. It was always the latest style because his thought was, if you look good, you play good. And so he taught me countless lessons But I think there's a lot of informal mentorship that a lot of guys can partake in as well. And a lot of this stuff's free. I mean, you can go to the library and get free books, right? Or you can buy a book and have it delivered to you within just 60 seconds. And so books are a great opportunity. There's courses, mastermind groups, conferences that you can go to. I mean, there's so much that you can consume and so much information. But what I would suggest is that if somebody is looking for a mentor, that you start looking for the results that you're after. So I've got a fitness and strength coach. I've got a business coach. I've got a social media coach. And so these are results that I'm specifically searching for at any given time. Right now, I'm trying to be a better shooter. So I actually purchased a course that will help me be a better shooter. You just look for the results that you want. And this goes back to our conversation earlier. What do you want? Why do you want that? How are you going to get that? And then you look at those results for what you're after and you work backwards into that and say, who can teach me these results, or who already has these results that I can learn from, and I give them money, value, in order for them to teach me that stuff. So,
and then you start talking about, now you're getting into a bit of a difference between what a mentor is and what a paid instructor is. So how would you, because I get that you talked about your past and your the mentor and the impact that individual had on you. And obviously anybody can go out and buy a book, and I'm saw something recently about folks buying books and, oh, these are mentors from afar. Well, to me, it isn't. It's somebody that puts hands on you that has buy-in into your success just as much as you do. And so I'm curious, how order of man do you, or do you have a desire to have like guys that you've identified that this is what manliness is? And these are maybe, I don't want to say graduates of the program, but obviously folks that have been around for a while who
mentees,
you know, who have transitioned into what they want to do. And they've obviously got that empathy as well that, hey, I've been through it and I've been through this program with Ryan and the other guys. And I now want to reach down into the bucket and pull out mentees and mentor them myself.
Yes. Mm-hmm. No, that's a really good perspective. And I do want to back up to what you said about the quote unquote mentors from afar, like you were talking about. Both have validity. I think you understand that too. I don't think you weren't saying that, but I think there is validity in both. So I have personal mentors that I have a personal relationship with. And yes, I read a lot of books. Yes, I listen to a lot of podcasts. So there's validity to both. It's just a matter of deciding and determining what you need at any given time. You know, what's really fascinating is a lot of people get hung up on this money thing, especially when it comes in the form of a mentor. A lot of guys will reach out even to me and say, hey, can you mentor me on this? And my answer is yes, here is my cost, your investment for doing that. Oh, no, I don't want to pay money. I just wanted you to mentor me. You know what? It's not, I mean, this is a business, number one. So first and foremost, I mean, it is a business, all right? I've got to put food on the table just like you do. You know, I do this out of the goodness of my heart, but I still have to, I can't pay my groceries with, I have a really good heart. So there, but the other side of this money thing is I want to know if you're really in this thing or not. And that's a very quick way for me to determine if you're serious about this. Because if I say, yeah, it's going to cost $1,000 to do what you want to do, and somebody says, no, I don't want to do that, then what they're really saying is I'm not worth, not me, them, that they're not worth $1,000. And I don't want to work with somebody who's not worth $1,000 in his own eyes. I want to work with people who, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's a terrific way of saying that, because I know working with other entrepreneurs, that's always a tough part, isn't it? I mean, we know what a steak costs, but what do you charge somebody for man training? What do you charge somebody for mentorship? Something that obviously you and I know that have actual tangible results, but it's intangible little bit actions that take time to come to fruition to actually create tangible results. And you're right. That's a great way of looking at it, that a lot of times folks will come to the table wanting somebody to wave a magic wand for free and for smiles. And
yeah,
you're right. I mean, there's making a difference and making a living at the same time. That's what we're in the business to do.
Right. They're not mutually exclusive. And the other thing too, is if somebody balks at that or gets upset with that the fact that I charge for coaching, and they want to do it for free, awesome. Do it for free. We've put out 140 podcasts. We've got a free Facebook group. We've got a free blog. You can get all that information there. That's basic surface level stuff. You want to take it further than that, you feel like you're a little bit more advanced. All right, let's do this. Let's get in the game and start playing.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. Do you have, you ever find yourself and thinking like, man, when is it, when am I going to be too old to be a man?
Are you talking about like teaching other people? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, or just anything, you know, or learning or.
Oh man. As far as learning goes, like there's no destination, right? There's no like end point where I say, okay, I've arrived. I am now a man. This is something that we need to earn every single day. It's going to differ. It's going to change. Right now, I'm at a season in my life where being a man means being a good husband and being a good father. In the next 10 to 18 years, seasons are going to change, and being a man isn't going to have as much to do with fathership as it is going to have to do with potentially, well, definitely being a good husband, but even potentially legacy at that point and continuing to raise my family and be involved in the community. So we go through seasons. So it never ends. It just changes. And we have to learn and adapt and grow. And I don't know what it's like to be a grandfather because I'm not a grandfather, but that's certainly something that, that millions of men across the planet are, and that I'm going to have to probably learn at some point. So I never stop learning.
There's a great line from a Jim Carrey movie where he says, "Behind every great man is a woman," rolling her eyes. And what I've heard from both, I think it was Tim Robbins here shortly, and another guy is, man, the hardest people to work with are family, going back home. Cause you know, guys like me and you, we spend X number of hours a day out doing the good things that we do. And then we go home and it is time to be dad. And it is, I have five kids myself. It's time to be dad. It's time to be husband. And have you found, it's one thing to talk to talk, but what have your challenges been to walk the walk?
Well, I think it's so difficult for men when it comes to these intangibles. Like a lot of guys will say, "I want to be a good husband." Great. Welcome to the club. What does that mean? I don't know. I just want to be good at being a good husband. It's like, you don't even know what that means. So how can you define that? How can you be better at that? Or I want to be a good father, or I want to be this, I want to be that. I think the first thing that we have to do is we have to define it. We have to figure out what is that exactly. And we have to put a metric to it. Is being a good father meaning spending undivided attention with your children? Does it mean that your kids are getting straight A's? Does it mean that they're involved in sports, that they're excelling in sports? Does it mean that they have hobbies and activities and interests? Does it mean that they are kind and compassionate? Like, what does it mean? And if you think you can measure being a good father by the amount of quality time that you spend with your children, which is certainly one of my metrics, then that's a metric that I'm going to use just like I would measure my bank account and the success I'm having within my business and providing value to other people. How much time am I spending with my children? How many games am I attending? What teams of theirs am I coaching? Are we eating breakfast together? Are we eating dinner together? Are we having conversations? Am I using learning opportunities as lessons throughout life? These are all ways that we can measure quality time. So you've got to be a little bit more deliberate and a little bit more specific on what it means to be a good father. And when you start creating those metrics and those benchmarks that you're trying to achieve, you're going to see results because for the most part, I believe men are achievers. We want to achieve, but when it's so pie in the sky and we really don't understand and it's kind of a loose term, it's very difficult for us to quantify and therefore act on that thing.
Sure. Great.
Real quick, what are you looking to achieve this next year?
Man, that's a good question. I've got a lot on my plate from a business perspective.
Well, let's just say some of the things that you're excited about. How about that?
Yeah, no, it's yeah. That I'm excited about the opportunities that we have to do some live events. We're actually going to be considering taking the Uprising event I told you about, taking that abroad, which will be a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. We're going to start doing some regional meetups here this year, so that's pretty exciting and engaging to me. We're also announcing and launching another type of event, which is basically a legacy event. And it'll be a father-son event that we're doing. So there's a lot of cool. I really like the live events and retreats and experiences that we've started to do because they're just not as available. Anybody can do something online. And I want to try to take these digital relationships and bring them down to personal relationships. So those are the things I'm excited about in the business right now. Outside of that, cool. I'm coaching my kids' teams. We've got baseball tryouts this weekend. So, you know, things are good on the home front. We've got a vacation planned later this year. We're taking a month. We're going to live in Hawaii for a month. Like, we've got cool stuff planned.
Awesome. Are you ready for the rapid fire questions, sir?
I think I am. Let's do it.
All right. What are your three top favorite books you tell others about?
As a Man Thinketh is number one. Extreme Ownership is number two, and The Daily Stoic would be number three. Those are the three I'm reading right now, and I love them.
Have you read The Wild at Heart yet?
You know, that's another book that I probably would put even above maybe The Daily Stoic. That's a great, great book.
Okay. I was wondering if you'd heard of John.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
Cool. Name one thing that cost under $100 that has changed your life.
A kettlebell. I mean, truly, like, get exercising, get working out, like, lift weights and exercise. It's been so powerful for me, and it's changed every other element of my life.
Cool. What is something you believed as a 20-year-old that you'd now tell yourself is completely inaccurate, and why?
I don't know if it'd be anything specific, but what I would say is the world is not always so black and white, and that there is a lot of gray area, and there is a lot of middle ground. And the more that you can find that middle ground and rationally think about why you believe the things that you do, I think the better off you'd be.
Okay. Yeah, I like that. And that's very true. What is one thing you believe all high school students must know?
Take action before you're ready. I mean, we're not taught that, right? We're taught a bunch of history lessons, a bunch of history books, math, all that stuff, which is great. It's important. We got to learn that stuff. But we're never taught to take action. We're never taught to apply that stuff. And so education is great. Knowledge is better.
Ready, fire, aim. All right.
Yep, that's right.
Cool. And what's it mean to live a life of abundance?
I think abundance and the ability to do what you want, autonomy, essentially. It's doing what you want, when you want to do it, why you want to do it. And I think the more that you can live that type of lifestyle, the more abundance that you can have, the more excited that you'll be about other people's success, the more excited that you'll be about raising your kids or your colleagues, or your coworkers, or being involved in your community when you have that autonomy and that control and freedom in your life.
Nice. And as we're going out here, what are three ways that a guy that's listening to this today can improve their life? Start doing that today.
Yeah, sure. So number one, plan every single day. I don't care if it takes you 10 minutes, 15 minutes, an hour, whatever it may be. Do a plan every single day. That's number one. Number two is take a little bit more action. Take a bolder move. Do something that you've never done before. Do something that's always been on your mind that you've never done or never thought about doing or never felt like you'd pull the trigger. Just do it. Try it. Figure it out. And then the third component of what I would say is do an after action review, which is obviously a military term and a lot of people don't do this, but you have to reflect upon how successful you were in any given endeavor. Most people skip over this. If you don't look back at what you did, you will never find a better way to move forward. So I think those are the three pieces of advice I'd give.
Awesome. Well, Ryan, if anybody wants more information or if they need some help with the three steps that you just gave or anything else that is Order of Man, where can they find you?
Yeah, the best place is our headquarters, orderofman.com. You can find the blog, the podcast, everything that we're doing over there. We've got the Facebook group, which is obviously pretty active. We talked about that today, and that's at facebook.com/groups/orderofman. And I think between those two resources, you'll find just about everything we're doing.
All right, man. Well, again, pleasure having you on, and thanks for the time.
Appreciate it, you guys. Thanks a lot.
And there you have it, guys. Ryan is definitely a guy with a mission. And you can tell that the Order of Man is going to be recognized soon as one of those go-to man training resources online. I mean, it just has a polish and feel of really helping people out. And while it might not be for everyone, I think that if some of the stuff that he talked about resonated with you, or you can think of a guy who needs some of this advice, make sure that they know where to find it. And you can find all of those resources in the show notes for this session, which is found at newinceptions.com/82. And show note extras for this session include a few videos from Ryan's collection over at YouTube. And I have to say, there's plenty of great videos over there. So this is just a sampling. The first one is a video that sums up a lot of what I think it means to be a man, and it's called 8 Skill Sets Every Man Must Master. You know, it talks about how relationships, intellect, leadership, and 5 other skills are vitally important to be a man of influence. And I'd argue that it's very similar for women as well. Another video that he has up is about mastery and the importance of it. And mastery is so important, and many people don't understand how important it is today, and they want results right away. and it's simply not going to happen, especially if you're starting something from scratch. You know, when I first started New Inceptions, I was basically starting from scratch. Sure, I had been part of things in the past, but those folks had moved on and or, you know, there were some broken bridges that I really don't want to spend time repairing because it would eventually land me where I was, but with a 5-year gap. You know, I would be starting out where, you know, these people had already built their things, and so I had to meet other people that were starting from scratch as well. So what I've been doing since I started New Inceptions is mastering the skill of podcasting audio, what you're listening to here, and connecting with people online. And, you know, and it's put me in a relatively exciting position that I find myself today, including talking with great people like Ryan. So when you start mastering and leading by example, people are going to start noticing. And frankly, it's our responsibility as fellow humans to help them start being a better version of themselves as well. However, sometimes those people might try to tear you down and it can get hard. So in the third video, Ryan discusses how you should see yourself as a lighthouse. And it's a really, really great analogy. Finally, the last video I wanted to share with you guys is one about his beard. And being unable to grow one myself without breaking out, and frankly not having the patience to grow one either because I actually tried again back when I was in college, I wanted to know more about this. And it's a funny video, but it answers some questions you might have about his beard and any other bearded guys in your life. So that's just about it for today's session. Let us know what you thought about it. We really appreciate the iTunes reviews. You can find our iTunes pages by going to newinceptions.com/AOL iTunes. Or if you like, you can send us direct emails via heyguys@newinceptions.com. Also, if you want to connect with Ryan directly or any of our past guests, you can do that by going to the AOL networking group on Facebook. And there you can find all of our past guests, other listeners, and members of the New Inceptions team. Ask us any questions you have, or if you want, let us know what you're up to. We really like hearing from you guys. You can find that group by going to newinceptions.com/AOL networking. And next week's episode, I got another young entrepreneur coming your way, and this time it's with Saba Ali, who's the co-host of a new podcast called Dorm Rooms to Conference Rooms. She literally just launched her first book on Amazon and did well enough with it to now call herself a bestseller. In the interview, Layla, Daniel, and myself, yeah, I had them both on at the same time, find out about her inspiration to get started as an entrepreneur at an early age and what you can expect from the book, the podcast, and more in the near future. Anyhow, that's all there is to session 82. Thank you for joining Al, Ryan, and myself today. And until next time, dig in, have fun, and take care in whatever you're creating. And we'll see you back here next time.
Thanks for listening to the Angles of Latitude podcast. Connect with us at home, at work, or on the go at facebook.com/newinceptions. On Twitter at New Inceptions, Instagram at New.Inceptions, and on the web at newinceptions.com.